go, wait a minute, this isn't Tom Baker, is it? This is Pastor Wes Ryan that's filling in for Tom. And I have as my sound man, Raymond, who, if I hear this voice in my head, it's a guy by the name of Raymond telling me how much time I have or what's going on with the board there. And it's great to be with you this morning. As I said, I'm Wes Reinitz. I'm Pastor Emeritus. I got double distinction as Pastor Emeritus. You know, in the LCMS bylaws, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod bylaws, when you retire, you become Pastor Emeritus. And I also got the double distinction of the last congregation I served, which was St. Paul Lutheran Church in Havana. They made me Pastor Emeritus. And they asked me, what does doing that at the congregation involve? I said, nothing. I'm on call whenever you need me. But it's great to be with you. Tom called me last night and said, I'm going to be out on assignment. Would you take over for today on Friday? And I said, you got to be kidding me. I said, I'm no Tom Baker. And he said, no, you can do it. And long about 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock this morning, I said, wait a minute, I can do this. I'm working on this project called Bakerism, the sayings that Tom's had over the years that kind of reflects some of his things on law and gospel. And probably rated in the top 10 is that one called I'm a Super Plagiarist. You know, he borrows it. If he likes it, it's scriptural, and he borrows it from somewhere, he puts it on the air, and that's what I'm going to do today. In particular, Walther's Law and Gospel, Thesis 1. And in Thesis 1, it talks about that the doctrine content of the Holy Scripture, both the old and the new, is made of two doctrines that differ in its fundamentals with each other, and that's the law and the gospel. So that's one thing that we want to take a look at this morning. The other thing, super plagiarist being one of the things that he's brought up. Another thing that he's often talked about is, if I say something that's not in the scriptures, turn the dial to another station. You shouldn't be listening. It should come straight from the Bible. Well, I'm going to modify that a little bit. If I say something that's not in the Bible, you know who to contact? Tom Baker. And you can get a hold of him at Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. That's his email address. Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. So we want to take a look at this morning at the fundamentals of law and gospel as it is presented in the Old and New Testament. The reason I selected that was, you know, yesterday, Rumination Thursday, we discussed about LGBT orientation that's going on in some of the bill and legislation being passed and being proposed to pass in the state of Illinois on education, on the roles and contributions of LGBT in our elementary schools. And it got me to thinking to take a look at the law and gospel, the differences that are in there, because, boy, we talked about a lot of law and some gospel. And it was good for us to take some time to review that. And one of the things we wanted to take a look at is in regards to how it's revealed. The law, as Walther points out, it was written in our hearts. It's revealed in our hearts. The gospel has to be preached to us. You know, really, mankind, whether they're saved or unsaved, whether believers, unbelievers, however you categorize them, all know about the law, but it's what you do with it. You know, we made mention of it yesterday, and we made mention of it other times. There's two basic ways to break down into how we look at religion, how we save one another, and it's man's way and God's way. Man's way, you know, is how we can fulfill the law, or we make God in such a way that we can reach up and touch him, and and form them into our own image. In the Old Testament, they made idols out of them. In the New Testament, those idols were destroyed with Christ dying upon the cross. In our modern culture, it's how we want to make God into our own image in such a way that he would never say those things about homosexuality or sin of gossip, you know, various sorts of sins that we see out there. So it's a matter of what does the Bible reveal that is written in our hearts, first of all, and the gospel is preached. For the gospel reveals and proclaims nothing but the free acts of divine grace. It's the gospel promises. You know, people break down that faith into two elements, and again, it's man's faith versus God's faith. A man's faith is such as you read in James, where that even the devil believes. We often call it historic faith versus saving faith. Historic faith says, yeah, we believe that there was a man called Jesus and he died, and they claim that he rose again from the dead. But saving faith trusts in the promises of Christ, who has died upon the cross for us and rose again, that our salvation is found in our Lord Jesus Christ, who's done all these things for us. So really, you know, something to keep in mind is man's religion says do it in order to merit God's favor. In God's eyes, through the gospel, it's been done already through Christ our Lord, who's died upon the cross for us. Another thing that Walter brings up is the content. The law demands, commands, it takes, it terrifies. Whereas the gospel itself is grace and truth, and it gives to us. So instead of having to reach up and touch God, God has reached down and touched us through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it differs in its promises. The gospel promises everlasting life and salvation. There's no conditions attached. Do this and you'll be saved. It probably is best stated in many places in the New Testament, obviously. But I always like to use Ephesians chapter 2. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, that we should boast in them, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and that faith we see created by hearing the word of God, or hearing the word of Christ from Romans 10:17. So, but the law offers this, in a sense, the law offers us food, but does not hand it down to us, you know, where we can reach it. It's always out of sight, out of mind. You know, did I ever do enough in order to merit God's favor? And the law will always do that. The gospel has that unconditional promise of grace and salvation. The law says you better do this if you want to live. The gospel has no threats, only consolation. The law is threats. For instance, in Deuteronomy 27:26, God says through Moses, cursed be all that confirms not all the law, words of the law to do them, and the people shall say amen. So the law gives us curses and demands, whereas the gospel has no threats and offers us only consolation. The other is the effects of these two doctrines in our life. The law is the preaching of what we are to do, and what we are unable to do. And the gospel itself tells us that what has already been done through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, yesterday, as we talked about LGBT orientation discussion, you know, the law was uncovering sin, you know, how they were trying to, for us as Christians, we we could see through the law itself that they were making a new law, the roles and contribution. And as we pointed out, are they going to talk about the roles and contributions of, for instance, of the problems that the Roman Catholic Church had with priests who did pedophilia, or for the, this instance, something like a mass murderer like John Wayne Gacy, who many years ago was a mass murderer of young boys in there. So the law uncovers sin, but will, in this instance, through man's legislation, they're trying to gloss over it and make it into something other than what it should be. The gospel offers and gives faith. It does not reprove, but it takes all the terror, all the fear, all the anguish, and fills it with joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. You know, what a difference it makes in the life of the believer to know that peace in our Lord Jesus Christ. It brought to mind several things. The first being a person that I had called on in the hospital last year, or earlier, yeah, last year already. Yeah, she had gone down from her home about 46 miles away, had gone down to the hospital with her husband to do some heart tests and prepare him for surgery. And while she was there, they said, well, you want us to take your EKG too for her heart? And they did. And they said, wait a minute, we're going to admit you right now. Next thing she knows, the doctor says, you're going into surgery next thing tomorrow morning, not the husband, for the blockages that she had. So her pastor called, and that's one of the things sometimes that I do living here in Springfield. I tell some of the rural pastors, give me a call if you need for me to go in and make a call that you can't get to right away. So I went in as she prepared for surgery. And one of the things that I do is we do confession of sins, you know, readings and devotions, but especially a confession of sins and absolution. And as I did absolution, we did the prayers, I said to her, you're good to go. You're good to go because your sins are forgiven in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're good to go in the surgery. You're good to go with however it is God calls you to be home. You're at home in heaven or at home here on earth. And it was months she recovered. It was God's will that she recover from her surgery and she go home. A couple of months after that, she sent me a letter. And I would read a portion of that. I want to take a moment to say thank you for coming to the hospital. The next morning when they were preparing me for surgery, I had such calm over me. It was because I knew my sins were forgiven. That made a big difference to me. I was scared, but those few words were such a calming effect upon me. And that's what the gospel promises of the gospel. As we make confession of our sins to our Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor gives that absolution. I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you and in the stead. And by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. It's Jesus that forgives those sins as we cling to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The other point that I'd also like to make, Tom made this last week and he made it again this week when he talked about the parable of the prodigal son. You know, he made that point that from Burns' interpretation of it, that the father was Jesus, and he did something that culturally was not approved of in that time. Is he went out to see his long and lost son and pull up his robes, and his feet were showing, and that's something you didn't do in that culture, let alone go out and meet him. Goes out and meets him, and not only meets him, but hugs him, gives him a robe and a ring, makes him his own, which I thought was quite moving as Tom was talking about it, never had thought of it that way, but Father had put the robe on the prodigal son, which said he was welcome in his town and taking care of him. And we often talk about that too, how we get that robe of righteousness in Christ, that glorious exchange that takes place in our baptism, where Christ takes off of us our robes of sin and puts on to us his robes of righteousness, and we are made his own dear child. So what a difference that makes in our lives, that Christ has come and become a part of that. The other reason I bring it up is it's interesting because Walther says the same thing in his long gospel that Tom was talking about. He said, at the return of the prodigal father does not with a single word refer to the horrible, abominable conduct, you know, as it was that the son went out and had all kinds of free living, so to speak, riotous living that it talks about in one translation, squandered the wealth that he had. He says nothing whatever about it, but falls on the prodigal's neck, kisses him, and prepares a splendid feast for him. That is a glorious parable exhibiting to us the effect of the gospel. It removes all unrest and fills us with a blessed heavenly peace. And that, I would say, too, is another glorious sort of exchange that we see when we come to our baptism. When we remember our baptism, we remember how it is that Christ has taken off our robes of sin and given to us the glorious robes of his righteousness. And God no longer looks at our sins, but sees to us perfect and holy people in particular. You know, it kind of reminds me of Ellen, that I once did her funeral sermon. She suffered from schizophrenia and hearing voices. And I started out the funeral sermon talking about what a wonderful person she was, never had a care in the world, everything was great and glorious. There was this audible gasp in the crowd. It's like, what is that pastor on, and what is he doing? What kind of water is he drinking? Because that certainly wasn't the person I remember. And then I went on to say, but that's how Jesus remembers her. For she trusted in the promises of Christ, and Christ was her Savior. And as her Savior, she was not disappointed. It removed all unrest and filled her heart with a blessed heavenly peace. And that's the peace that each of us have in our Lord Jesus Christ, is through what he has done for us. For the gospel does not say you must do good works, but it fashions into a human being, a creature of a kind that cannot but serve God and his fellow man. It has that precious effect. And so, you know, the difference between law and gospel is it relates to the person to whom he either is preached. You know, the law is to be preached to secure sinners, but the gospel is to be preached to alarm sinners. One is secure, the law you're secure in your sins. The gospel is for those that are alarmed in their sins, is to flee to that gospel. And what a wonderful opportunity we have coming up in this Sunday when we celebrate Pentecost, and Pentecost being 50 days after the Easter, 40 days, of course, was the Ascension, which we celebrated last week, and this week is Pentecost. And next week we go to after Pentecost, the following Sunday after that, we go into Holy Trinity. And it should be very interesting because Tom talked about, we'll be talking about a guy by the name of Athanasius. And Yes. We're getting close to the end here, but next week in the lessons on Monday, we start talking about Trinity Sunday. And in particular, we talk about a blessed pastor by the name of Athanasius, who held to the doctrine of the Trinity. I just got the voice message from Raymond that we're towards the end here, and it's great to be with you. They'll talk to you towards the end of this of how you can contribute to Law and Gospel. And it was a pleasure to be with you, and Tom will be back with you on Monday. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on Worldwide KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check payable to Concordia Mission Society and mail it to Tom Baker, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri, 63132. To give online, visit lawandgospel101.com or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.